And we have just begun our series on the 9 aspects of Bhakti Yoga, devotional service. 2 Sundays in a row we heard about Shravanam, the process of hearing. And today and next Sunday we shall be devoting 2 sessions for Kirtanam. It is said that a single word can shred your heart, can cause joy, cause anger, cause frustration, jubilation. How come a word has that much of power? This particular strange thing is possible in the human society. Although animals also speak, they speak in their own tone, in their own language. It can't be called language as human beings use. But the Lord has given the gift of speech to, we can say, almost all species, barring a few. So what exactly is the meaning of Kirtanam? The root of this word you can find in Kirti. Kirti is a simple word. Glories, fame. Kirtan is to engage in describing something. Srila Prabhupada in a lecture once said that the definition of Kirtanam is chanting, of course. I presume most of the audience assembled here has some idea about chanting. Perhaps some of you could be new and this must be your first time. So I'm going to touch at that particular level and then we will build up. So those who are already chanting for many, many years, perhaps you may find some of this stuff a bit like baby food. But please persevere. In the end, I would like to serve some rich, tasty morsels also from Chaitanya Leela. So we begin with the beginning. What exactly do we mean by Kirtanam? That we are human beings. And we have the gift of speech. We can speak. We can articulate words. We can tell what we want. What do we use our gift of speech for? Materially speaking, the first thing the child learns is to say mama, papa, or milk, or whatever. And I just came from a journey, in fact, 2 overnight journeys from Bombay to Goa and Goa to Bombay back. And both journeys, the night was very entertaining with few kids just opposite us. While going, there were these 2 twins, hardly year and a half or 2 old. And they kept their parents awake all night. And we also were close by. So we also had no different destiny. But this kid, he was only knowing what he doesn't want. He was not exactly telling what he wants. So his aunt or someone, didn't look like his mother, she was too elderly. She would put him up, he says, no, not here. She would put him down, not here. She would take him out, not here. She would feed him something, I don't want to eat. So she was asking, what do you want? That he would never answer. So, I mean, of course, the elderly, all of us don't remember how we must have pestered our parents. we only look at these kids and say, oh, kids nowadays. There's nothing like nowadays. From time immemorial, kids are practically the same. So we describe something, and of course in this case, the kid had no other ability or whatever, or maybe he didn't just like the train journey, which is very much a possibility. He just didn't like confined in such narrow spaces, and the sooner we get out the better, whatever. So, spiritual life also begins, first not kirtanam, first is not glorifying the Lord. What will you glorify if you don't know whom to glorify, how to glorify and what to glorify? So Srila Prabhupada, echoing the teachings of the previous acharyas, would say, first hear. Actually it is H-E-R-E, first. First come here. You cannot say, I will do that at my home, I'll do that there, otherwise somewhere. No. First of all, come here. Physically move yourself and locate in an area where there are Vaishnavas together. And he explains in one of one of the seven purposes of ISKCON is to erect a place which is dedicated to the transcendental pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And Prabhupada said, every temple of mine, every temple of our society is such place. Now, pastime place doesn't mean that pastimes always take place here, which they do, but we may not realize. But at least pastimes are discussed here. A place dedicated to the transcendental pastimes. So, although sometimes we may discuss events of the world, what's happening here and there, but that's not the main purpose. The main purpose of coming to the Sunday feast is not to hear the latest news or who ran away with whom or which is the new celebrity, bestseller or blockbuster movie. We may take those and compare them as to how shallow they are, how they lack the verve, the power of Krishna Leela. So just for comparison's sake, although sometimes our attention may be diverted to the analogy more than the substance, but the principle is not that. So, what should we hear? And this whole series, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atma Nivedanam, is from that beautiful verse of Srimad Bhagavat, which Prahlad Maharaj has told his father. Prahlad didn't make up these processes. Shravanam Kirtanam is from time immemorial. The first here, as I said, is H-E-R-E, come here. And then you use your ear, the sense of hearing, for just hearing about Krishna. Even even if you are the first timer today, you can understand that Bhakti Yoga has so much of variety. There is hearing, chanting, worshipping, accepting the Lord as one's servant, surrendering everything. There is so much of variety. And this is something which the path of Vaishnavism is very strong about. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. You cannot have just the same thing again and again and you can claim enjoyment. But one person asked me that you say that variety is enjoyment, but you worship the same person. Is it not? You chant the same mantra every day. You have the same Radha Gopinath every day. So where is variety here? Why not have someday Indra, Chandra, Varun, Saraswati or whatever, why not? I mean, it's a bona fide question, why not? We'll come to that also. So, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. We are very specific. Whose Shravan and Kirtanam is needed for Bhakti Yoga? If at all you want to have Bhakti Yoga, it has to be Shravanam Kirtanam about Vishnu. And what's the difference between Vishnu and Krishna? Is there any difference? No. Some say yes, some say no. Don't bother with the minute details. Just remember this. Prabhupada said, God in his office is Vishnu. God at home is Krishna. Let's build upon this. How does a man behave in office? He's very serious. He takes the phone and says, yes, yes, yeah, we'll send it. Thank you. Or he says, well, your check has not come yet. We'll send it tomorrow? Fine. Okay. Does he behave the same way at home? That I need the next chapati. Yeah. No. No, it has to be hot. Yeah. Dal also. No. It says family, it says children, and they're like papa, and then his mother, his wife, they have, all of them share varieties of intimate dealings. In fact, his son may climb on his shoulder. I've seen many times, I mean, those boys are grown up now, but every time, or Bansi Gopal Prabhu's son, Chaitanya, many years ago, when the father would offer Dandavat, he would jump on his back. And that would be his... I mean, he doesn't know my father is offering obeisances to Prabhupada here. He just came to know that whenever I come to the temple, twice I get chance to sit on his back. One is facing like this, one is facing like that. Does the father mind? Does he tell him, shh, this is the temple. You should not be doing like that. No. In fact, it once happened with me that our Radhakund Prabhu is very senior to me in age and senior in productivity also. He does a lot of things. And we had a clerk here who had come from some other temple where it seems the temple president has to be really to observe a protocol. So, here it's not like that, you all know. So in one office, he was doing some work, and I came there, and this old gentleman, very simple person, but he had this old habit from some other temple or whatever. So he told Radhakund Prabhu, temple president. So he didn't wonder, what do you mean? So then he looked behind and looked at me and said, yeah, I know, Ramanand. So I also was a bit sort of flummoxed as to what exactly is he doing. But Radhakund Prabhu didn't understand the whole thing as to, I mean, he has come. Should I get up from my seat? Should I give him get some glass of water? What should I do? So, intimacy and reverence. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada mentions how Devahuti used to serve Kardam Muni. She managed both. Vishrambhena, Gauravena. Vishrambha is intimacy, Gauravena is awe and reverence. He says the ideal wife exactly knows when to show intimacy and when to show reverence. With Godhead, both of them are valid. There are devotees who would like to just be in that awe and reverence kind of mood. And they have like Tirupati Balaji. You hardly see him. You don't even know what you saw by the time somebody pushes you out. And you're like... But that's good. That particular worship preserves the mood of reverence. At the same time, Radha Krishna temples in Vrindavan, Mayapur, Radha Madhav, Radha Shyam Sundar in Vrindavan, they are exactly meant for improving the intimacy. It is potion, it is nourishing for the intimacy aspect. But beware, intimacy cannot be assumed. Like if somebody just comes and clings you and says, ha ha, how are you? And you say, I hardly know you. It is much better if some time has elapsed, you know each other well. Later what happens, if somebody is intimate, 3 years somebody has gone abroad for some job or something, and then you meet the devotee in a yatra, and then you don't hug. You may say, is there anything wrong or what happened? So, when there is intimacy already, then if it is not shown, it exhibits itself. It is not proper. But when there is no intimacy and suddenly it is shown, that also is not proper. So Prabhupada gave a formula. He said, in all my ISKCON temples, when devotees worship Radha Krishna Gopinath, we are Radha Ras Bihari, Radha Giridhari, Radha Madan Mohan, call them Radha Krishna. But the worship is in the mode of Lakshmi Narayan. The worship is in the mode of reverence. And reverence means punctuality and cleanliness. If these two are sacrificed for the sake of, you know, hey Radhe or my Radhe, whatever, it doesn't make any sense. Things have to be punctual and things have to be clean. Then you can have a little bit of fun here and there. So, coming to this point. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Vishnu and Krishna, no difference. How the devotee wants, that's how Krishna responds. So, Krishna comes and acts in so many ways. Why? So many leelas. The 10th canto has 90 chapters. Then you have Harivansh Puran. Then you have Garga Samhita. You have the Mahabharata. You have the Vishnu Puran, Narasimha Puran, Padma Puran. Why? One hint is, so that we can discuss something. Exactly. We have been given a tongue and the tongue has to wag. It has to do something. If the tongue doesn't describe Krishna, it doesn't engage in Kirtanam of Krishna, Shukadeva Goswami condemns it. Jiva asati darduike vasuta. Oh, Sutta Goswami. Shukadeva Goswami, it's not Shukadeva Goswami, this is Sutta Goswami is being told by the other series of Naimisharanya that, oh, Sutta Goswami, that tongue which doesn't describe Krishna Leela is like the tongue of a frog. Or that tongue is like a frog. Jiva asati darduri keva. Dardurik is a she frog, a female frog. And she just makes sound good enough for the serpent to catch. So, the example is given that if we wag our tongue like that, we are simply inviting the serpent of time to come and catch us. The series of Naimisharanya also tells Sutta Goswami, Kathyatam tu Mahabhaga yadi Krishna kathashrayam. Normally, if there is a war, like there is some war in Syria going on, there is some war in Yemen going on, but we don't discuss that here. So, okay, I'll interrupt this class. There is some latest bulletin. We'll show you on the here what's happening there. You may say, no, we are not interested. The sages of Naimisharanya are telling Sutta Goswami, hey, wait a minute. You're talking of the Mahabharata war? Is it connected with Krishna? Then tell us. Or tell things about the Mahabharata war which have some direct bearing on Krishna. They are very clear. They are not interested in somebody having a big weapon which will kill 10,000 at a time or 5,000 at a time or some chakra or some ayuda, some astra or some shastra. No. So similarly, you and me are also taught that we are interested in Bhagavad Gita primarily because it is Krishna Katha. Somebody has described. But here, the Bhagavad Gita, who is describing Krishna Katha? Krishna himself. And then Srimad Bhagavat, who is describing Krishna Katha? Others. Shukadeva Goswami, Vyas Dev, Bhishma Dev, Prahlad, Dhruva, Yamaraj, Lord Shiva, Brahma, Indra. Everybody, the Yamalarjuna, the two brothers, Kubera, Nala Kubera and Manigriva, sons of Kubera. So Bhagavad Gita, the importance of Krishna Katha from Krishna himself. Srimad Bhagavat, Krishna Katha, through the mouths of other authorities. There is a point here that Vishnu or Krishna Katha also includes Kirtanam of Vishnu's devotees. This is a bit strange. Especially if the devotee is pure, then the katha is very potent. So hearing about Krishna is potent. What about hearing of Prabhupada's desire to spread Krishna katha everywhere? Prabhupada prays in his poetry while in the Jaladuta, Tara Ichha Balavan Paschatete Than Than. He is talking about his Guru Maharaj. Although he is the one who is going abroad and he is telling the world, Tara Ichha, my Guru Maharaj's Ichha is so Balavan, it is so strong. By his desire, Krishna consciousness will spread everywhere. I am just a via media. I don't take the credit. And we see Prabhupada's potency is there for you and me to see everywhere. So many temples. In fact, this year we are celebrating the 50th anniversary of Srila Prabhupada leaving the shores through Jaladuta. The Kolkata ISKCON temple has arranged a massive celebration. And also it happens to be the 500th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya visiting Vrindavan. So the pastimes of Prabhupada while spreading Krishna Katha are described as equal on status. You describe Prabhupada's stories, you become Prabhupada conscious, equal to being Krishna conscious. Because Krishna wants, he explains, Mad Bhakta Pujabhya Adhika. The worship of my devotee is better than directly worshipping me. Next we go through, we saw the definition, that is chanting, speaking, glorifying the name, form, qualities. What about rules? For every procedure there are rules, regulations. Prabhupada said in Kali Yuga especially, forget the rules, first the process. Because sometimes, not everybody, but sometimes people are too rule conscious. And they say, unless, like I have seen people who say, I can't come to the temple, oh man shuddha nahi hai. So what do you mean? Mind is not pure. You'll come to when the mind is pure? You have to wait for donkey's years before your mind will become pure. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had a story that there was an atheistic fellow and a friend. The friend was a little bit inclined towards satsang. So he would say, come, there is a satsang, just cross the river, they have put a pandal, and they are going to have nice Bhagavad Katha there. So he said, not now, I am busy, later, later, later. One day he said, okay, I'll tell you one thing. The day the river dries out, I will be the first person to come there. He said, hey, I know, the river will never dry out, which means you will never come. So, at least in Kali Yuga, don't bother about the rules. I'm not saying disregard the rules. Rules are like electricity. You can't just touch anywhere and say, okay, now I'm having a diploma in electric engineering, so I won't get a shock. No. Diploma, no diploma, you touch it live, you get a shock. So rules have to be followed. But in the beginning, accept the process. One day what happened? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came and sat on a couch. Whether it was a temple or somebody's home, Prabhupada doesn't make it clear. But it was, he was sitting in a big, like see how we have this facility for multi-speakers to sit and give katha here. One by one, the sannyasis, brahmacharis and others came and they sat. And Prabhupada, at that time, Abhay Babu, Abhay Charan, Day was his surname, he came and he sat next to Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. And everybody was looking here and there and Prabhupada was not bothered. He said, well, no problem. And suddenly after some time it dawned on him that I should not be sitting here. Because then he saw many seniors coming, many, many years senior to him, and they took up seats on the floor below. He said, but now I have sat, how do I just get down? You know, human nature. We may say, kal karenge, aaj nahi. So he said, that day I sat, but I learned my lesson. Never to take anything for granted. So just see how humble Prabhupada is. Prabhupada is giving this example, his own life, that initially you might take things for granted. You might not follow the rules properly. But accept the process. After you accept the process, then you start understanding that there are ways of doing it properly. Sometimes people grumble, "Pehle bola nahi itna rule hai karke." You say chant anywhere, chant anyhow you like, chant while watching the World Cup or any Saas Bahu opera or whatever. And now you are saying chant properly the plays and your spine should be erect and eyes should be half shut, not fully, and not fully open. Why so many rules? Jayadas Swami was asked while he was here, "Maharaj, there are no hard and fast rules for chanting." He said, "Yeah, but there are soft rules for chanting." Soft and slow rules are there. Hard and fast they might not be, but soft and slow rules are there. Why? Because initially you have to make your tongue malleable. It has to take some process of chanting Krishna's name. Just like many times, Dandavat, that comes later, Atma Nivedanam. But I have seen umpteen times here, the mom brings her kids and says, "Dandavat, Dandavat." And they suddenly, at home there is no practice of Dandavat, they never see anybody offering Dandavat. Why should they offer Dandavat here? Why is this temple special? But every time a parent comes and without even looking at the child, both parents, or at least one parent, whether mummy or daddy, they offer proper Dandavats, the kids learn. For a kid, there is nothing high, nothing low, nothing shameful, nothing embarrassing. They just want to have a proper role model. Now if you are not doing and you are thinking it is good for you, then he may say, "Why are you not doing it if it is so good for me?" So never ever try to tell somebody, "This is good for you, do it." No. Prabhupada himself, he describes that Acharya is one who teaches by example. So, this particular thing about Kirtanam, Prabhupada engaged day and night in that. But the way he gave various explanations are very wonderful. Very, very, very wonderful. So, we have in describing, please remember, Kirtanam means just to describe something, to speak about something. Two aspects which are very well known, I'll take them first. The third one may not be so well known. What is the first process in which we do Krishna Kirtan? Japa. In India, japa is not a very foreign word. The Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, "Yajnanam japa yajnosmi." Very, very wonderful. Japa is elevated to the process of sacrifice. Normally the word sacrifice means, you may say, "Sacrifice something." You may say, "Okay, gaya, kuch to gaya." He will take my money or my time or something. Sacrifice means, it's gone, isn't it? That's not the original meaning of the word. Any guesses what sacrifice means? Anything, it's a guess. You can hazard anything. Sorry? Love. Love comes close. Or what exactly do we mean by sacrificing something? Selfless. Sorry? To give it up. No. That's for sure. The act of losing something is never the first thing. Although it is a dictionary meaning, I give it to you that. But the essential meaning of sacrifice is to make it sacred, to purify it. Just see. How do you make something sacred? By giving it to the original owner. The one who gave it. It's a big thing. At least in India, people feel, "Oh, Bhagwan ko wapas kyun dene ka?" Give your money to him, give your time to him. Why should I give it to him? Whom will you give it then?
Well, my wife, my husband, my family, my... Oh.
So, Radha Govind Maharaj makes this point very emphatically in one of his classes. Jiska nahi hai usko denge kya wapas? Bank se paisa liya hai, to kisi apne baap ko doge uda wapas? Ya maa ko doge? If you have taken loan from a bank, would you repay it to your own family? Own community? You have to give it back to the owner. The one who has given you the loan, he has to be repaid back. So Krishna consciousness simply means my life, my ability to chant, speak, hear, see, everything, all these abilities are assets. They are like on loan. Radha Krishna is the origin of all that. And if I give them back, it's not a unbona fide thing, it's not a invalid thing. In fact, it is the most proper thing. But then we have this in India. But he is God, why does he need? Especially, why does he need my money? He already has so much. This is where some purification is necessary. He doesn't need. In fact, how many of you, be honest, how many of you, before coming to Krishna consciousness, were doing some serious demigod vrata or puja or something? Nobody? Come on, yes. At least one, two. Don't tell me the name of what you were doing, but what were you doing? No, don't tell me the name of the person whom you were worshipping, but what is it, very complicated? What were you doing with a lot of material, specific things on a specific day?
Specific Monday and chanting his names and...
Okay. So specific day, specific utensil, specific mantra, specific everything. This is how demigod worship is actually made. You have no heart. That's why you are doing demigod worship. Be aware of the fact. But you get carried away by the whole formulation. The big shell. The shell is so grandiose. It looks very appealing. And when you read the Bhagavad Gita, what does Krishna demand? Arjun? A leaf, a flower, fruit, or water. 4, 3, 2, even one will do. Now you might think that here is the so-called Lord of the universe and he wants a leaf. At least if he says banana leaf, big size. That is something. If he says a tulip, no ordinary chalu flower from Bombay. I want tulips from Amsterdam or rhododendrons from Europe or lilacs or bougainvilles or whatever. Sorry, I just know some of these exotic flowers. So no exotic flower, no exotic fruit. Does he say only pineapples or does only Alfonso mangoes? Any fruit, any flower, any leaf or some water. And Prabhupada is so compassionately mentioning in the Bhagavad Gita purport, is there anyone who can say that any part of the world, I don't have access to any one of these four? But you know what happens? We say Kali Yuga is a time of very unfortunate people. This is that true misfortune. People take it, this guy is satisfied with such little things? Not worth it. Not worth it. Are, if you want to do some puja, you know, big banging of drums and clashing of cymbals and big time, you know, we have a, like this, I see in these trains, Shatak Chandi, what is that? Navakundi Yagya, or big time, big sire sacrifice, big. I use my common sense and I thought, if this worshipable personality requires such a big amount of paraphernalia, that means he is dependent on that kind of worship. And the Supreme Lord wants something simple, which means basically he is saying, come on, take the first step. I'm not interested in the whole paraphernalia thing. I'm already full. The other people, they are dependent on your worshipping. They are dependent on the items you use. If they don't like something, they throw it back at you. Say, nay, something better. So, does it also not show that Krishna is already great? He can be satisfied with a simple thing. And therefore, we may all have our speaking ability. We may not be able to sing properly, all of us, or speak properly, all of us, but ability we do have. And therefore, the first thing, japa. Japa means your own personal glorification performed in a solitude, in a solitary environment. You're alone basically. So, we have our beads and I'm just saying for the sake of those who have come for the first time maybe, that we see devotees sitting eyes closed, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You are chanting loud enough for you to hear, not so loud enough that others could be influenced, that's not your aim. And this is called japa. The other aspect, the secondary aspect of kirtan is sankirtan, samyag militva. Two meanings of that. Jiva Goswami says, here sankirtan means people congregating together. Like once in a week, all those who feel Radha Gopinath is the nucleus of their spiritual life, they all come here, we chant Hare Krishna very grandly. That is all of us coming together. Another all of us is all our faculties, all our senses, all our attention put together into chanting. So, solitary chanting is japa. Congregation chanting is sankirtan. The third aspect is when you talk of spiritual topics, even that is kirtan. This is the first thing which comes to my mind is life comes from life seminars. Prabhupada is encouraging Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj that you call a scientist. He said, yes, we'll do it. No, while I'm here. So he said, this is Vrindavan and you are sick. Prabhupada said, never mind. Somehow he thought that if I give them time, they will never do that. So Prabhupada is very sick, a lot of mucus in his throat. He cannot speak properly, cannot breathe properly. But he's saying, can you do it? And Swarup Damodar Maharaj also, he said, yes, I'll try my best. And a whole day, I don't know how many scientists were there, and they were discussing biology and physics and atoms and molecules. And Prabhupada is patiently sitting in the next room. He's not a technical person, of course. At the end of the seminar, some devotees are visibly, like, if the BI people give a class here, surely nobody will have any questions. First of all, you have to understand the subject matter, then you can have questions. So, mainly, it was like scientific stuff. And Prabhupada declared, this is kirtanam. And devotees are amazed. This is kirtan. How is it kirtan? So Prabhupada said, anytime you speak and the aim is to glorify Krishna or to establish Krishna consciousness, prove to somebody that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that also is kirtanam. So please remember, solitary japa, together congregation chanting, and every talk describing Krishna Leela, that also is kirtanam. One of the essential benefits of kirtan is something which is so imperceptible and practically impossible by any other means. And that is change of heart. The whole world today is disturbed by pollution. Everybody knows that. We drink polluted water. We eat polluted food. We inhale polluted air. But this pollution is far, far greater than that. That is, we harbor toxic thoughts. Our thoughts are all sort of distilled lust, anger, greed, envy, madness, illusion. Now, with this kind of heart, and if emotions flow through our hearts, our thoughts flow through our heart, and if they are all toxic, our actions will be toxic. Then we will be having words which are toxic. Our habits will be toxic. Our life will be toxic. Our destiny will be toxic. And there is no mundane scientist has even thought about that. They say, this is bound to happen like that. What can be done? He says, you know, can't you have any injection which will clear somebody of his envy? No. Or some pill which will take away anger? No. So because these questions are so important, Prabhupada is to accuse the scientific community. Because they are so difficult, you are keeping them aside. And in fact, every movie or every billboard or every other video game you find, does it make you peaceful after seeing that? In fact, after seeing you feel, you know, what should I do? So the power of the power of evil is always exalted because of these kind of things. And there is no way out. Krishna Kirtan is the only way which can effect a change of heart. And it's proven. We saw in this drama, Jagai Madai, they were so powerful, if they had nobody to fight, they will fight each other. But if some third party comes and says, "Chhoda shan baitho na, why you are always fighting?" Then they both unite and hit that fellow. Maharaj always says that many times, we Iskonites, we look upon Jagai Madai as some kind of cartoonish figures who are like, you know, hey, and making big kind of sounds. They were cruel. Such cruelty, I don't think any of us would like to be in a large hall with them. Enough room to run away, but still, we would not like to be with them. So it was the essence of evil, essence of cruelty, which was dominating their life. And to think of Nityananda Vadhut going in front of them and saying, "Chant Hare Krishna." The very audacity of somebody trying to teach us something. But then, when they saw Mahaprabhu's chakra, they knew that justice should be delivered now. And nobody was willing to take justice. Mahaprabhu's disc, Lord Vishnu's disc, has that power to cut down the biggest criminal down to size. Who's stopping him? He's the Lord of the universe. He can do anything. It is Nityananda Prabhu's compassion. He says, "Please don't." Once Maharaj explained that, why is he saying don't? He says, these people and everybody else, they are like the same sample. These are a bit notables. Others are not that different. Given a chance, they would like be like them. And we see last year or something, there was a TV serial which was glorifying Ravan. What makes you feel? In fact, many years ago, I remember, I was in college, and Ravana died, and there was Uttar Ramayana. After that, what happened? And somebody in the train, some discussion group, somebody remarked, "Is Ravana died and the whole charm has gone?" As if he was the sole entertaining point of the entire Ramayana. Of course, there are some other points besides that. The character of Ram, that means the actor off the screen, was quite questionable. So when you have these kind of Rams and that kind of Sitas, so obviously Ravan looks more practical. You need to have something sensible, something tangible. So, if Shravanam is not proper, then your Kirtanam also will not be proper. And therefore, Prabhupada said, quoting Sanatana Goswami, "Please choose wisely from whom to hear." You might say, this particular song is so popular, or this particular song it appeals to me, it is so nice. In fact, just like with everything else, like in medicine, spurious medicines, fake medicines, isn't it a fact? Degrees, fake degrees. Jobs, fake jobs. Currency, fake currency. Food, fake food. So why not in spirituality? It is not like some people are especially targeting spiritual topics. Some people are so simple that wherever there is money, they will make something imitation. So because people are not willing to take the lessons as to whom do we choose, from whom can we hear? And the Shastras say, if milk which is touched by the lips of a serpent, and if you drink that milk, it will have a poisonous effect rather than nourishing effect. So if Shravanam is bad, your Kirtanam also will be like that. It's like mathematics. First step there is a mistake, every other step it will be compounded. So last two Sundays we understood the importance of proper Shravanam. Somebody might say, where do you get those authorities? I might want to hear properly. You pray. From time immemorial, from the beginning of creation, Krishna has never let this thought go neglected, that this person wants to hear from my pure devotee. He is fulfilling the needs of every other species. Just 2 days ago, Vijay Prabhu, the book distribution minister, sent a story. He was strolling around, this could be California, because that's where he, I assume, that's where he normally distributes books. He saw a man sitting on a bench with a thick bunch of papers. It was just a bunch, whitish looking. So he went and he was sort of amused, says, what is this? He said, I don't know what this is, seems to be a part of a book, but it's amazing. The philosophy is so deep, I've never read anything like that. And Vijay Prabhu took a closer look. It was the Bhagavad Gita as it is. He said, do you want the whole text? So he said, what do you mean? So he took out from his bag, take this. Just imagine, even Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, somebody tore it or whatever, it was some bunch. Maybe like if you have page 48 to page 98. What do you understand? But he kept on reading. He was amazed. He was grateful. And God knows why, or we know why. Because of that pure desire, Prabhupada sent him and he got the whole book. This is how Krishna is responsive. One pure wish. I would like to hear somebody whom you have authorized. And Krishna will never sort of neglect you. So then when you hear properly, next comes kirtan, glorification, speaking or describing. I based most of my topics from an excellent BTG article by Dwarkadhish Devi Mataji many, many years ago. And maybe Nartaki Mataji may be knowing her. Do you know her personally? She's from Los Angeles. Dwarkadhish Devi. No. I don't see her articles now, but she covered all the 9 processes. It's a maybe 2000 article, 15 years ago. I found it very nice, very concise. So this is a thing from her. An essential component of kirtan is to capture without deviation the spirit and message of Krishna's pastimes and teachings. When we speak, an essential component is to capture without deviation the spirit and message of Krishna's pastimes and teachings. And to do this, we need to get first-hand realization. We need the first-hand realization of Krishna's pure devotees. It is not simply that, like when you read a book, what are you doing? You are doing Shravanam. You are hearing somebody's written word. When you are hearing a lecture, it's Shravanam. When you are sitting personally, that is Shravanam. So it's all there in Shravanam. And if you don't have the first-hand realization, Prabhupada didn't say, you do this and my Guru Maharaj will give you Krishna. No. How Krishna was reciprocating, Prabhupada's disciples could see first-hand. So Krishna consciousness is not something you do now, and the benefit comes later. Like some life insurance things. They give you 10 lakh rupees. You have to die first. Yeah. They will make your family lakhpati. It's one small condition.
after your death. So Krishna consciousness is not like that. Prabhupada said, if you want, the realization may come in less than a moment. So this great avatar, or avatari rather, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the same Krishna come in the form of his devotee, is what we worship here on the left side of our altar, both arms raised. On our left, that is on the left side, but on our left is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on his right is Nityananda Prabhu. And his name, Krishna Chaitanya, means Krishna consciousness. His very name means he was always Krishna conscious, and spreading Krishna consciousness was his goal. But he didn't do that from the very beginning. From the very beginning, he was a scholar. Arrogant scholar. Actually, very, very arrogant scholar. The inhabitants of Navdeep would be amazed as to, he looks so nice, so sweet, so attractive. The moment we see, we only get thoughts about Krishna. But this person never speaks Krishna Naam. He never chants Krishna's name. In fact, he criticizes us. In fact, he always says that, what good will your chanting give you? Srivas, Gadadhar, and all such people, Murari Gupta, they would practically avoid him. One day, his name was Nimai Pandit. He took permission from his mother that I want to go to Gaya to offer Pindadan to my departed father. And it's a fairly normal thing. Sons are expected to do that. So he left. He had his students with him. Suddenly he fell sick. He had fever. And then he said, I need the water which has washed the feet of a Brahmana. Normally, is this what you take for fever? You take paracetamol, you take something else. But here is Nimai Pandit saying, no, you don't understand. You don't understand my jwar. I need. And then they found a poor Brahmana. I don't know how they can convince him to give his foot wash. But that's what Nimai Pandit drank. And then he was slowly transformed into a changed person. He went to Gaya, did the Pindadan. On the way back, he met Ishwarpuri. He asked Ishwarpuri whom he was. What was his identity? Ishwarpuri said, I am just a very simple servant of the Vaishnavas. I am not even a devotee. Something stirred. Of course, it's all Leela, but at least that's how the autobiographers describe. He begged Ishwarpuri for initiation, for mercy. Ishwarpuri gave him benediction. And he said, what do I do? He said, chant Krishna name. Chant Krishna's name. Now the same Nimai Pandit, this self-serving, stubborn, arrogant, very proud, snobbish scholar who could defeat any scholar, when he came back, he would say only Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. His students would ask about dhatu in Sanskrit grammar. Dhatu means the root of something. So there is a shas dhatu. From that we have shastra, shastra, shishya. We have dhru dhatu. We have dharma, dharan. We have the brih dhatu, brihat. Then brahma, brahman, brahmana. So many words coming. So they were interested in the dhatu. And instead of talking grammar, Nimai Pandit is saying, Krishna is the root of everything. If you know Krishna, then that's all. You don't need to know anything else. One day he said, I can't teach. My job is over. Now does it mean that academics should be thrown away in the Ganga? Maybe it should, some of you might think. And some of it deserves also, but not all. But here is a case where all these years of scholarship should be seen like
the mundane way of trying to gain Krishna's mercy. It is not like scholarship is condemned. Please don't make that mistake. He is saying the artificial way of trying to gain Krishna's pleasure through scholarship, that was condemned. The arrogance is condemned. And therefore, he requested his devotees, let us do Krishna Kirtan. Srivast Thakur's home was chosen as a perfect place. It is still there. We can visit that. Srivast Angan. Angan means courtyard. Now there, they would close down the doors. This is, you have to visit Bengal to understand that. High walls, door closed. Now it's like an enclosed space. And then they would begin chanting from dusk time, 6:30, 7 o'clock onwards. It would go on past midnight till Brahma Murta. After some nights, Mahaprabhu, now he was, of course, that time he was not called Mahaprabhu, but Krishna Chaitanya, Nimai Pandit at the time, okay, no problem with that. He told his devotees, why waste our time in sleeping? Now, understand, those devotees were also of that same caliber. They say, we work all day and all night goes in sleeping. Why waste our life like that? Let's chant all night throughout. And they all agreed. So, that was the beginning of this kirtan. Acharyas have detected that this Shiva Sangan is non-different than the Rasa Sthali where Lord Krishna would engage in sweet kirtan. The gopis would sing. Now there is no comparison. Rasa Sthali is under Vansivat, Govardhan, bank of Yamuna. So many places Krishna has performed his dance. But that dance where one male is dancing with thousands of beautiful females, it's going to give a very wrong picture to people of Kali Yuga. There are some people who say they are ashamed of Hindus, of being Hindus or Hinduism because of this particular thing. Obviously, Ras Leela is not any Tom, Dick, Harry's cup of tea to understand. It is stuff which sannyasis have to understand, not you and me. So Mahaprabhu, in order to protect the tender emotions of people of Kali Yuga, that same person, he is a male, Krishna is male, Mahaprabhu also is a male, but the people who are dancing with Mahaprabhu in Srivasangan, they are all males. The Hare Krishna mantra, the same Krishna naam, is now given as Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. What does it mean? Why these three names only? Krishna has thousands of names. Krishna naam is the essence of all scriptures. It is all attractive. Krishna means all attractive. Ram means all pleasure. Hare is the potency which connects us. And all these three, Hare, Krishna and Ram, they are described as in the vocative. That means you are addressing somebody. Like if you say Ramesh, Ramesh, or you say Sarita, Sarita, that means that girl or that boy, no, somebody is calling me. And they look back, yes, me, yes. So similarly, you don't need to tell Krishna what you want. That's the beauty of this Mahamantra. You chant Hare Krishna and Krishna knows you want my service, I'll give it to you. Of course, what you do after that is up to you. You might say, so much service. That's a different thing. But, ideally speaking, the purer the heart, the lesser is the complaint. Higher is the bliss. So Mahaprabhu's devotees, they kept on chanting. Once, one pure, pakka brahmachari, he said, look, I know you do something very special there. And for your understanding, I only drink milk.
I don't even take grains. Grains are polluting. Polluting in the sense, the karma of the person who is cooking enters the grains most easily. That's why some sadhus never cook anything except what is cooked by themselves. Prabhupada gave this order that uncut fruit, least karma. Cut fruit, it begins. Milk sweets, some more. And fried products, some more. And cooked grains, the heaviest. So the heaviest of karma influence, either way, if it is very positive, if the person's cooking is pure, much pure potency is transferred to that food. So he said, don't worry, I just drink milk, I do tapasya all day, but please I would like to see what you people are doing. I mean no harm. I may not be in your sampradaya, I just want to know what you do. So Srivas Thakur was thinking, not exactly, Mahaprabhu doesn't like people who don't understand this process of bhakti, but I guess he's a harmless looking fellow, what can he do? So he allowed him. There was some kind of an obstacle and in the courtyard, and he said, just hide behind that and no talking. Okay? No anything, just watch it and afterwards I'll leave you. He said, okay, fine. So as the evening came, the devotees came, doors bolted, everything, and sweet singers like Mukunda Datta and others would start singing. So the mridang players, kartal players, and the singers, and then Mahaprabhu would start dancing. It went on for some time, and Mahaprabhu said, no. There is somebody who ought not to be here. And it is Srivas's place. So he looked at Srivas and said, So Srivas says, there are no non-devotees here. There are no non-devotees here. And Mahaprabhu thundered, what do you mean no non-devotees? Who is here that you are hiding? And sheepishly caught that fellow, brought him in front, and he said, he's a brahmachari, simple, very austere, very, very, very dedicated to the path of Vedas, and doesn't even take any grains, simply drinks milk. And he thought that maybe this qualification is good enough. Mahaprabhu is never angry for without a reason. This time he gets very angry. He starts saying, where did you learn that Krishna's grace can be purchased with your scholarship, with your austerity, with your knowledge of scriptures, with your punya? Where does it say that? Does Krishna ask anything material from you? We just saw he asked for a fruit, flower, leaf or water. And especially if you have this arrogance that I am special, others are sinful, I am special. You are defeated on the path of bhakti. What Krishna looks for is saralta, simplicity of your heart. And this was a revelation. This person, very sweet by nature, had no ill thoughts, but he didn't have this training. So he knew that he is no longer needed here. He turned his back and his mind was thinking, I am actually happy. First time somebody had the courage to tell me the truth. And I'm actually happy. I'm joyful. I'm happy I'm insulted. It's not actually an insult. It's a medicine for my heart. I was actually proud. I need not be here. And Mahaprabhu being Paramatma understood. As he had just exited, he told Shiva, call him back. And now he was happy. He said, please understand. Krishna is simple. In fact, there is a sentence, you can check it out in one of those Bhagavatam purports. Prabhupada saying, by nature, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is very simple. He may say, it doesn't look like. Threefold bending form, one curve here, one curve there. He is crooked for the crooked, by the way.
but simple for the simple. So he went away. Now this is the case of somebody who is an outsider. Once Srivasa's own mother-in-law said, "Hey, what do you do all that in the evening?" She's like the mistress of the house. So she also demanded, "I'll be here and I'll see what you people are doing." He said, "No, you're not allowed." Now without taking Srivasa's permission, she hid somewhere. Again Mahaprabhu said, "Today I don't feel that everything is proper. There is somebody here who's not supposed to be here." And now Srivasa was thinking, "No, I didn't allow anyone today, so let me see." And then he found his mother-in-law. Maybe it was time to give her back. He dragged her out and said, "Get out." So, even if somebody is a relation, but if he is not in that mood, Mahaprabhu didn't allow. But, once in the daytime, this kirtan would be night, and the daytime there would be so many other pastimes going on. Devotees, Mahaprabhu decided to have Abhishek. And there was one servant lady. Her parents, nobody knows. In fact, in India, there is a notion that for people, very poor, simple folk, if the babies die untimely, they give names like Garib Das. That means Yamaraj will think, "Hey, Garib Das ko kya uthane ka hai, to Garib hai, is a poor fellow." So something similar, her parents had named her Dukhi. Now why would anybody call his own daughter Dukhi? But she was Dukhi. Nondescript. Nobody knows where she came from, what her qualifications were. Her only job was, what was the job? Any job. Whatever the family tells her, she would do that. So this time there was need for water, so people were getting Ganga Jal. She also went, took pails of water, and she was transporting. She's there somewhere, and Mahaprabhu is sitting inside. Mahaprabhu is getting Abhishek. Abhishek is over. Mahaprabhu said, "Srivas, call your servant." And they said, "Ooh, which servant?" So, if you are doing some service which is like way, way miles beyond the main epicenter of service, so this is not an earthquake, but the main nerve center where things are happening, and you could be like miles away, don't worry. Just like Dukhi was so much away, far distance, she was called. And Shiva said, "You mean this one?" I said, "Yes." "What's her name?" And Shiva said, "Her name is Dukhi. From today, she will be known as Sukhi." And she was so happy. Now, if you and me tell somebody that, you know, "I bless you, you become a millionaire," nothing going to happen, right? Because you need to have potency. The word benediction has bene, good, diction, word. But that thing to be true has to have some potency. Like when a magistrate says, "You are condemned to be hanged," that fellow loses all composure and sits there. Why? Hey, because this fellow, what he says happens actually. "I don't find any evidence, I leave you free." He's free, at that moment he's free. Why? Because the magistrate's word has potency. Similarly, Krishna or Krishna's devotee, when Prabhupada says, "Chant Hare Krishna in Kirtan and you will go back to Godhead," that is a benediction. It has that power. So when Mahaprabhu said, "You become happy," there is no way somebody can become unhappy. So, let us chant the Mahamantra as much as possible, follow the second process of Kirtan, which will lead to the other processes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Now just to close, we have, is Giriraj Prabhu here? Yeah. So, there was this devastating earthquake at Kathmandu. The Bhaktivedanta Hospital team immediately responded. His Grace Giriraj Prabhu, an orthopedic, by profession, he was in one of those first relief teams which went there, and
you also have those devotees? Yeah.
So Giriraj Prabhu will be making a small presentation on the relief efforts undertaken by Bhaktivedanta Hospital. There is a small presentation here, will be shown on the screen. And after that, we also have the temple president of ISKCON Kathmandu, who will be making a short presentation. So I'd like to request Giriraj Prabhu to kindly come here.
Hare Krishna. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Mritam.